on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move we approve the agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Approval of the minutes. Just take a minute, look through the minutes, and see if there's anything that needs to be changed. Okay, is there a motion to approve the minutes from May?
I have a motion to approve the minutes.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Next item is public comments, and we have our normal large crowd out there, so. Next agenda item is old business. We've got two items on the old business. One is the K Avenue Mixed Use District. What that really refers to, I believe, is the illumination paragraph that last month, actually we did it several months ago, but there was some confusion about it. So last month it was resubmitted as part of the K Avenue Mixed Use District. The council seemed to be much more inclined to approve that. Because again, that's not taking away any illumination from an existing business because there's no businesses in the K Avenue Mixed Use District. So anyway, that is going to public hearing. I believe it's on June 17th. Okay, June 17th. So everybody is invited if you want to go. I don't imagine there's going to be a big crowd for that. But if you want to come, that would be fine. Next item is the rental certificates, and I've sent some emails out. As I promised last time, I was going to do some research, and in the process of doing research, I'm sure as everybody who looked at their email, I found this great site out of California that was put together by California Rental Agents Association or something like that. And what it did is it provided all the information, at least in California, for these type of things, these rental certificate, rental approval, short-term rental type of things. Because again, the example that I gave last time was from West Lafayette, Indiana, which is looking more at long-term rentals for student reasons. So, and I have to say that when I was Googling this, I found a lot of these things, not just in California, but throughout the nation. But again, California was a really good site because just clicking it, everything was right there. So what I did is I clicked on every single one. And I did read all of them, and I went ahead and printed off for everybody what I consider to be about four or five. I'm not saying that these are the best. In fact, what I want to do is print off the most complete ones so we can see kind of the range of different things. And I got one for John, if you want that, or I made it over.
You got six.
Actually, almost total six. Thank you. And, again, there's about four that I put in here. Obviously, I could have a whole bunch. The first one is from Dana Point. These, by the way, are all tourist communities, beach communities, and things like that. So they're looking at short-term rentals. And without question, short-term rentals are viewed as 30 days or under. I mean, that, if there's anything that's uniform, it's a 30-day and under type of rental. And I would say the vast majority of beach communities in Florida and California and up and down the coast too, probably maybe about 50-50 in the Carolinas, have something related to these short-term rentals. The reason I picked off the first one here, I'm going to walk through this very quickly. This is the city of Dana Point, and this I thought was neat because it actually shows the history of how this comes about. If anybody is interested, kind of looking at the background, look at what they did to get to this point, the fact that they had a public hearing, the Planning Commission, they had discussion, they had a draft ordinance, they then passed it to staff, because again, this is a fairly large community, beach community in Orange County, California. Staff went out and studied 43 best practices that they consider to be best practices here, and then they have their recommended ordinance near the back end right here. So, draft of the short-term rentals ordinance. So you can see that. And this is a pretty complete one right here, too. The next one after this is, if you keep going, kind of big, it's Calaveras County Board of Supervisors Agenda Submittal. This is one of the more detailed ones. I printed off three very detailed ones here. The Dana Point one, the Calaveras County. They're all a little bit different. You know, I have to say, they're all looking at different things, although there seemed to be a major consensus that parking, which is really one of the things that triggered this one, parking is a serious problem, as well as noise and some other issues. So again, you can see what they are looking at. Again, this is a fairly detailed one. Feel free to parking. Another thing that seems to be kind of universal, quite frankly, is that that they don't allow for rent signs on the properties. That seems to be pretty common one. Several of them require a posting within the rental unit about being quiet and the rules and proper behavior and parking and all these sort of things too. And another thing that clearly was a major concern, and I think it's a big concern here, is that that there's a general feeling that there was a lot of rentals that were going on where they weren't collecting room taxes. And so part of this process is identifying who was actually getting it so they can kind of track the room tax sort of thing too. So anyway, the Calaveras County is a fairly complete one, so I printed that one off for everybody. Next one is the City of Encinitas. I printed this one off because it actually shows the rental application. I have to say the $150, remember West Lafayette was $400, and that hurts whenever I have to write that check. It seems to be pretty common, about $150 for this on an annual basis. So anyway, here's the City of Encinitas, which is a beach community in northern San Diego County. And you can just see what they have. The reason I thought this was kind of interesting, the reason I included this, is if you keep going, you have the City of Encinitas short-term rental permit and frequently asked questions. And I thought this is really good because this is on their website. So for people that would have questions, this is a pretty complete, I think, good example of how to put it up on the website in case anybody has a question, all that sort of thing. So I thought that was a good thing to kind of make a look at. And then the ordinance follows in terms of what they're looking right there. And finally, the last one, I believe, this one also had penalties in it. And so I thought that was interesting in terms of what the penalties are. Obviously, it ratchets up, for the violations and that sort of thing. Then the last one, I might have two other ones here. Next one is Ventura County. The reason I printed this one off is just another example of a fairly complete one that they're looking at. Another one that a lot of them have too is that in the application for the rental is identification of a contact, emergency contact, which I thought was pretty good. And several of them have safety checking. Not every one of them had a safety check where somebody goes through and checks for different categories, but a lot of them did. So, and then the very last one is. And again, these are primarily all beach communities. I think the Calaveras County is, a large recreational lake up there, but all the other ones are beach communities. And the very last one is, last couple page, is Solana Beach, which is another San Diego beach, a nice San Diego beach. And again, I printed this off just because it's a little bit different, but it's a fairly complete one too, and you can see, how they approach this whole the whole thing right there. So, anyway, I thought I'd just pass this out tonight. Just as a recommendation, I think Tom asked a good question is, 30,000, what question is, why are we doing this and stuff like that. So what I would recommend is that at the next council meeting, I just go in and speak to council, tell them what we've done. Say that these are the categories and the issues that these sort of things try to address, a whole range of things, not suggesting that we do everything, but these are the sort of things that are addressed in this stuff. Point out that it's a very common thing. And one of the things I did notice is it's becoming more common because when you look at this, a lot of these are fairly recent that they've been passed. So a lot of folks are having problems with this issue. So you see a lot of these things being passed between 2009 and the present time. So. We're certainly not the only one looking at these sort of things. But I go to the council and say, this is what we have. These are the sort of categories these folks are looking at, not suggesting that we do all of it. It seems to be relatively common and just get direction from the council as to where they want us to go from here. And In the meantime, this is just nice, quiet night reading for everybody over the next month. And look at it. Any discussion? This is much better than the Lafayette. The Lafayette was dealing with a different type of rental issue. So these are all vacation, short-term rentals. By the way, several of them say that you cannot do a day rental. Several of them say that as part of this, that you cannot rent it for weddings, for other sort of things. That this is simply a rental process. And since a lot of the stuff is in residential, that you cannot do weddings and a whole bunch of those type of things. And several of them say that it has to be for 3 days or more, that you can't do 1 or 2 days. So anyway, you can read this. They all have kind of different approaches and things that they're looking for. But parking seems to be a major approach. Number of people per bedroom is an issue. They all say 2 per bedroom. Then they define a legal bedroom, closet, window, that sort of thing. And then maybe an extra 2 for a pull-out bed. But parking and the number of people, and then issues about noise, and some of them have quiet times and things like that. So anyway, any other quick comments, or is everybody kind of in agreement that I'm okay to go to the council and say this is what we're looking at, this is where we're at, and please give us some guidance as to what wants to do? Because I'll guarantee you, for us to write an ordinance like this, we need clear direction from the council.
Very, very clear.
Yes.
I just hope we don't go overboard with this. I think we ought to start out simple, and if need be, we can add some things.
Yeah, have some resolutions about all of
it. Identify the major issues at first, and go from there, which are the parking and the noise.
Right. And by the way, I printed off the most detailed ones on purpose. There are certainly many that are not detailed, and in fact, a couple are simply an application, and require a posting of the rules, noise rules, things like that. The only reason I printed these off is so you can see the full range of everything. I'm certainly not suggesting that we take the approach that's going on right here.
I just wish we could have some sort of workshop with some of the main rental agencies in town, and sit down and see if we can hash this out about how to do.
Can we get feedback from the police department if they have complaints about noise or parking or anything like that?
We do.
Okay.
No doubt.
But, can we know which properties they're called on?
I can tell you.
I think I know one from Christian. I'd like it's more specific,
What's specific? I can provide every bit of that for you. That's not a problem. We get complaints on a weekly basis. I think the most important thing to remember is we are a vacation destination, and this only happens for...
Well, all of these are vacation destinations, too. Yeah. I mean, these are all vacation communities as well as... that's why I thought the city of Dana Point was very, very interesting when you look at the process they went through, because they deal the process.
How long it took to implement.
And they are quite clear that they're trying to balance, the issues of the permanent residents with the opportunity to be able to do short-term rentals. The process they went through in terms of looking at the best practices, they also, when you look at this, is that... they actually did a workshop, exactly like what you're saying. They did a public hearing, the Planning Commission did a public hearing on this. They had a lot of rental agencies come in and that sort of thing and got information from that. So,
the only other thing, the $150, that doesn't sound too bad, but when we talk about fees and things like that, just remember they're going to be pushed right back on that homeowner. Mm-hmm. And all they're trying to do is supplement their income.
And the homeowners who might not necessarily live in town really can't vote for this.
Well, we can certainly hear them.
That's
the only other thing, I spoke with Shane Johnson from the Cape Fear Home Builders Association today. He called me this morning and wanted to know what we were doing and how it was going. And he's offered up his expertise, and he'll probably be attending the next couple of meetings. He knows it's coming. We talked about the other municipalities and things that are going on, especially like in Oak Island. They're having the same issue with large 15-bedroom houses and things like that. So,
when I got into this, I thought it would be an occasional sort of thing. I was very surprised at how many beach communities have something like this now. Again, some very detailed, like the ones I printed off, the very small ones and things like that. But this has obviously become a major issue in a lot of beach communities.
You didn't really find any in southeastern North Carolina.
When I found this website, I kind of focused on this because I thought this is a one-stop shopping sort of place.
Yeah, I looked. I Holden Beach, Sunset Beach, Ocean Isle Beach, Caroline Beach, Riceboro Beach. At least on their website, I couldn't find anything. I didn't call anybody. I was surprised. Yeah, I didn't look at Oak Island. Certainly, they're working on it.
Right, right. I think a lot of people working on it, but I concentrated on. They're all going to look like this, you know, in some variation. I mean, there's no question about it. I found, when I started going down the list, before I found this one, the first 10 or 12 that I found, I mean, New Jersey has a lot of these things. Virginia has a lot of them. And I was actually looking specifically for the Carolinas, and I found this website. Here's 45 of them just in one web page. So,
yeah.
You know, I can't
concentrate. Kind of crazy that they put all that together on that.
Yeah.
I think it's a good idea for to get the real rental agents in here, because I think the biggest issue is going to be the parking, because I don't know how you're going to address
it. I just really wish we could figure out a way to push it back on them, make it their responsibility. Mm-hmm.
But there's some HOAs as well. Like, I know Sea Watch has a strong HOA, and probably 75% of that neighborhood is weekly rentals.
Yeah, and they require them to post rules and stuff. And
Ocean Dunes, there's 196 units there, about 25 permanent residents, 25 part-time, and the rest, another 150, our weekly rental, so there's a big block of people that are going
to... I mean, we've got some houses out there that are 10 bedrooms.
Yeah, sure.
Right. And that wouldn't be able to be built today because of our parking requirements. So right. We've kind of solved the parking requirement for anything in the future, but I mean, what do you do with a 10-bedroom house? I mean, this, you can't assign street parking to them.
There's no way to increase... I mean, I think the parking restrictions are pretty good right now. The worst part is knowing whether or not they're going to be rentals or not, which...
I think the noise issue is probably easily solved, not easily solved, but with rules and stuff posted in the...
Well, the only other, parking is the biggest issue, and, you know, if we could, I think one thing that needs to be done is we need to increase our parking fund and start working on some of that stuff, because...
Well, you see that parking is a major theme for all these things. I mean, the major themes that I saw, and I read all 45 of them, okay, so the major... Major things I saw, parking was probably number one, okay, and they all address parking. Number two was overcrowding in the, the place, and so they all have limitations as to how many people and that sort of thing. Number three was noise, I would say, and number four was the ability to collect the room tax that a lot of folks were trying to get around. And those are the four big ones, probably kind of the same four big that we'd be concerned about too. Now, some of these deal with a lot more detail than that sort of thing.
Here's a thought. Should we solicit some input from our police department before it goes to council? Just get it from there. They're the ones dealing with parking, with noise, with most of these things.
I think
it's evident as you drive around.
It's a common theme. I mean, they're going to have the same issues. Right. The only other thing that might come up is sleeping on the beach or alcohol on the beach, and both of those are already regulated by ordinances. And it's just like Craig noted in his email, a lot of it's complaint-driven, and that's exactly...
Yeah, everything's complaint-driven.
That's the only way we can operate down here, given our short staffing in a small town.
So if it's okay, I'll be glad to, go to the council, just kind of have a quick conversation like what we had right here, point out that, it is a huge... And by the way, they don't exactly the same thing. When you look at the Dana Beach one, or Dana Point one, they notice exactly the same thing, that it's all over the place in terms of how different communities address this issue. And what I'll do is just say, well, here it is. Is this something you want us to pursue? You want us to pursue it in a very, kind of narrow focus, detailed focus, or something like that. Just simply get some guidance from the council before we do anything more. But in the meantime, you might want to read the sort of things that people are doing. Again, realize that I purposely printed the most complex and detailed ones here, and because it really gives kind of a broad idea of the focuses. All right, any other discussions on the rental certificates?
No.
Okay. So I don't think do I need a motion to just take it in a casual way to the council at all?
It's up to you. Yeah, you might.
Okay. Is there a motion for me to present what we talked about in the council guidance? Okay. Is there a second? Say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Next item is new business. Anybody have any new business? How about member items? The only item I have is I may not be here for the July meeting. It's about 50-50 right now, but I don't know yet. So if I'm not here, I'll certainly let everybody know for the July meeting. But I usually go out to San Diego for July, but I may or may not go this time.
What's the date of the July meeting?
Okay, what's that?
What's the date of the July meeting?
July 1st is our meeting, and that would be the first Tuesday, and then the 4th is Friday.
There's a chance I will be here July 1st, then. I didn't, because if I leave, it'd probably be on the 2nd. So I actually might be here, so.
So we'll keep it. No need to cancel, or anybody else have a problem? No. All right, so keep it on July 1st.
Yeah, it's all to have a quorum.
Who's having here?
You know, other than the rental thing, which I mean, there's obviously no hurry on this. Unless the council says it's a hurry. But, I mean, we don't really have anything coming before us right now. I'm like, do it. By the way, John, what was decided about the subdivision of the property?
The joining HOA raised a red flag and wants to talk about it some more. I believe it's on their agenda for next month, but they haven't made any decision about going ahead to record it or anything else at this point. So I believe they're going to be just talking about it, trying to find out exactly what they're going to be able, what they're going to go ahead and decide to do.
There's another thing that comes out of this, which I thought I'd explain, because I'm going to explain this and also ask a question. When I was city council member and a planning commissioner in California, there was a federal law that was passed, sometimes called the Granny House Law, and it was a federal law, that said that no local municipality or state could restrict the building of granny houses. It was under a low income, it has some formal name, like low income occupancy, where it says that even if it's zoned for a single resident, that people can put a granny house in it. Granny house cannot have a kitchen, okay, and there's other requirements, no more than one bedroom.
It's a mother-in-law suite. Mm-hmm. Hmm? Mother-in-law suite.
Yeah, and that's why they call it a granny house, you know, or mother-in-law house or something like that. Can't have a kitchen, can't be larger than 600 square feet, and that sort of thing. Well, needless to say, every single beach property in Southern California immediately put one of these houses, you know, these little small houses on the property because it's so valuable. And now they're all being rented out.
Sure.
Okay. Question, is that law still in existence?
I'm not.
And the second is, do we have that problem here? Because as these, you know, I mean.
First question, I don't know. I don't know if North Carolina has that law or not. Second question.
Well, it's actually a federal law. It's actually a federal law that supersedes state law.
Okay.
At that time. So well, no, I don't know if they changed it. But, yeah.
Second question. No, it's not a big deal. I have a request for it, and that's exactly how I put it. I don't mind you adding on to the house or having something extra on the lot as long as it's connected to the main house.
See, the granny house is not connected.
Okay.
That's what's interesting. It's actually a non-connected. It's actually a separate unit that's a granny house defined as low income or something like that. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that a lot of, when you read this, you'll see a lot of references to that because there are a lot of those properties now in the beach community, but we don't have that here. It may not be enforced anymore, but it was a major issue.
The lots really aren't big enough to accommodate it a lot of times.
Yeah.
And if they are installed, they're usually on the downstairs where they convert a garage into something like that. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I don't allow an extra kitchen.
Right, okay.
Unless it's zoned for a duplex, and once they do the proper firewall ratings and things like that.
Okay. Yeah, because I think the rule is that even if it was a single unit housing zoning, it still had to have required setbacks and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
That they couldn't do that, but you couldn't restrict it because it's a single unit housing. It was allowed to put this additional unit in place. And again, now they've all become rentals and beach properties, obviously. So, okay. Any other member items?
I have one thing real quick. I'm sure you've seen the emails the town council has contracted the lot next to the gas station to use for parking over the next 4 months. And in our zoning ordinance, it does say in B1 that a parking lot would be considered special use. I haven't brought this to you before because, in my opinion, section 1981 kind of negates that since the town is leading this operation and contracting it out for 4 months. And basically, what section 1981 says that the town can do anything it wants in any of the zones it wants. As long as it meets setback requirements, height limitations, and things like that. And given that it's just on a temporary basis, I didn't feel the need for it to go through the special use permit process.
Now, what happens if after the town contracts that, you know, they set it up, they grade it or whatever they're going to do, and then after 4 months he decides to go ahead and continue that?
If he wants to take it over himself, then he would have to go through
the special use. Okay.
Yeah. So right now the town's just going to put up a temporary fence outlining the boundaries and an entrance and an exit coming off of 3rd Avenue. So it won't impede traffic or anything of that nature. Right now they're not planning on bringing any kind of gravel or anything to level off the lot. It's pretty much already there. It does have some gravel on it, even though it's got some weeds covering it. They're going to install some parking blocks and things of that nature, and that's it. Call it done. I foresee this to be a one-time thing, really. Okay.
Any other items? Is there a motion to adjourn?
So
okay, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everybody.